People who live in shelters or on the streets are more than twice as likely to have a disability compared to the general population. This, according to data from the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. In fact, a 2017 report by HUD shows that nationwide, 20% of our homeless population report having a serious mental illness, and 16% have health conditions that are related back to chronic substance abuse. In order to get our homeless population the care they need, from basic services to more complex health issues, the National Health Care for the Homeless Council is an organization that is made up of more than 10,000 doctors, nurses, social workers, and advocates. Locally, Terry Riley Health Services is part of that council. However, even with these services available, health care for our homeless population can be challenging. Joining me live in studio to talk more about this is Jody Peterson, Executive Director of Boise's Interfaith Sanctuary, and Jean Lockhart, CEO of the Boise Rescue Mission. Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
We all know we have a growing homeless population, which means we have a growing need for health services. Where would you say the services are most needed? And Jody, I'll start with you.
It's interesting. I was listening to you read the staggering statistics of like the big picture, but I think Jean and I like to focus in really what does it look like in our community as two emergency shelters. And really, there's this hard to define, too sick to be in a shelter, but not sick enough to be in a hospital, that we're faced with on a regular basis. And we have case management, but we don't have medical capabilities. And so when you look at our population, which is men and women on one side of our shelter and then families with children on the other side, we're dealing with contagious illness all the time. If a child has maybe strep throat or maybe RSV, getting urgent care for them to get them diagnosed and get them on the medication they need, they still can't safely come back into our shelter until after 24 hours of being on an antibiotic. And so what does that look like for a two-year-old who's sick, out on the street, nowhere to go?
And so that's like a gap,
then. It's a huge gap. There's no safe place for them to be. And if we bring them into our shelters, we're exposing all of our guests to what can then become a pretty bad outbreak. And then we have guests who have been diagnosed with cancer, and they are now receiving treatment. They're getting chemo and radiation. They're getting that treatment, and then they're being sent back out on the street. In the heat of the day, during the summer, you don't feel good. You have nutritional needs. You have hydration needs. And they actually have no place to be during the day. And so we actually started opening our doors. We don't have medical facilities, but we let these guests come in, rest during the day. We provide them with nutrition and hydration because it's just so hard to see them suffering like that.
So, Jean, when we have services like Terry Riley Health, and I know you're partners with the hospitals as well, with St. Luke's and St. Al's, with programs. However, It is that gap of people that when, like Jody said, with cancer or even a child with something as, you know, as strep throat that's treatable, but it's contagious. I mean, we've dealt with it at my house.
Sure.
What do you do?
Well, there's definitely a gap. And as Jody said, Interfaith has their shelter in Boise. We have two shelters in Boise, men's and women. We have two in Nampa. And we started, Jody and I, basically what we do is we call each other and say, okay, we've got this situation. What are we going to do about it? And we rack our brains and think through all the spaces we have, everywhere we have it. And we kind of puzzle piece people together and to try to take care of them. But about a year ago, this came to a head because in order to be in a shelter, the best example I can come up with, and Jody, see if you can come up with a better one. She probably can. She's so smart. you have to be robust enough to be able to go through a major city airport. So, you know, if you are in a wheelchair, you can navigate through that. But if you have a broken arm and you're on a pain med, you know, that would be almost impossible. So being able to be in a shelter requires some real strength. So about a year ago, we really started talking about it. And we talked about it with St. Luke's and St. Al's, who we're very good partners with, along with Terry Riley. And there isn't anything. And so we started looking at, we need a facility where people can recover, not a medical facility, but a facility with quiet rooms where someone who's contagious or a new mother or someone who's going through chemo can go and just be quiet. And we make sure they get their meals. We make sure they get their meds. We're keeping our eye on them. And if we need to bring home health in or hospice, we can do that. And I can't make an official announcement yet, but the rescue mission is getting very close to having a facility we're going to announce probably next week.
Really?
It came up for sale, and it was perfect. And so we, Jody and I, right away started talking about how are we going to work together to make sure all of the homeless population is taken really good care of. And so when her people come and stay at our new shelter, they'll do the case management so that when those people leave, they exit to Interfaith Sanctuary where they want to be. And when our people leave, they'll exit to one of the four shelters that is best suited to them.
Because my question would be, if people know that if they are diagnosed with something that is contagious and we can just go back to strep throat, are they less likely to try to seek out that care if there's the possibility that for 24 hours, and we're not even talking about an adult, we're talking about their child, but they would all have to leave for 24 hours. So do they sometimes think it's better to not seek that care because then they want somewhere to go for 24 hours?
No. No, they will always want to seek care for their child, for sure.
Deal with the consequences of that 24-hour gap.
For sure. And, you know, they have to navigate it, too. Like, where are they going to get in for that kind of primary care? Mm-hmm. And how are they going to get the transportation? And how are they going to pay for the antibiotic? There's so many barriers they have to overcome. But they want to overcome that for their child, for sure. Mm-hmm. There's no delay.
And they trust us. You know, we're not just, you know, people sitting in offices. We
right.
work hands-on with people. And they trust us that over time that when they have a problem, they say, okay, I have this problem. How do I work through it? Even after they leave us, they'll call us and say, I've got this problem. How do I work through mm-hmm. this? And, you know, Jody, we have mutual guests. And Jody would send me a picture. Look, I'm in so-and-so's apartment and we're... You know, she asked me to
well,
send
you
this
be
cute
so
picture.
Proud of that, right?
Yeah.
We definitely like to share our good stories together.
Yeah.
I mean, and Gene didn't mention this, but for most of last year, we were unable to solve the problems for our guests who were contagious. And so Gene and I just used our own money to pay for hotel rooms because it's inhumane. I mean, to keep them outside, had no choice.
And it's inhumane to subject everybody else to strep throat. I'm sorry.
Oh, it is.
You just cannot
and
do it.
And it can become super, I mean, it's deadly in certain situations because we have everything from a newborn baby to a very elderly person living in the same building.
Yeah. I'm speaking with Jody Peterson, Executive Director of Interfaith Sanctuary, and Gene Lockhart, Chief Operating Officer of the Boise Rescue Mission. We're talking about health care and our homeless population. And I know, Gene, you can't make an official announcement until next week,
right.
but I want to get back to this facility because it seems that could open so many doors.
It's going to, and it's going to be temporary. It's short term, or as long as the people need mm-hmm. it. But it's not like, oh, you're moving in and staying in.
No, but that's the goal. When
right.
we go back to someone who might have the, you know, strep throat, right?
Right.
Your kid can't go to school for 24 hours
right.
once they get on antibiotics
right.
for strep throat,
yeah.
let alone going into a shelter where there are so many people that you could potentially.
Right.
Here's the
big game changer with this. Gene volunteered me to go speak at a conference with a large group of hospice and home caregivers. And they have not been able to serve our population because in order for the benefits to kick in, you have to have an address.
Yes, for hospice.
And they can't use the shelter, but they can use this building. And so, like, Gene, this whole project opens up a whole new possibility of partnership with hospice and home care being received by our guests in this building.
And Jean, is this something that we've seen in other cities across the country where they have facilities like this?
Yes. Yeah. Other big metropolitan areas have this. You know, like Los Angeles, they have like 200 or 300 beds.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have maybe, you know, between 15 and 45 beds maximum. It's going to be pretty small, but it's a good start. And then we can prioritize, we can say, well, this person's, maybe they can't go back into the shelter, but maybe they can go into a room in the shelter that's a little bit more quiet, or if they're not contagious, maybe they can, you know, maybe then they can go into a room and stay mm-hmm. in during the day. And, you know, as all the mothers out there are thinking, you know, strep throat is not just a 24-hour thing. It's It's 20, you know, and you know too, Gemma.
We just went through it.
Sure.
Yeah.
But
every year.
No, your kids need to be in bed for a while. And they need to have a quiet place to rest. They need to eat certain things. They need to drink certain things. So it's I think our population is going to get much more healthy. And it's all because of partnership. You know, the Interfaith Sanctuary and the Boise Rescue Mission are very close partners. Terry Riley, St. Al, St. Luke's, you know, everyone is pulling together and really cares about people. Mm-hmm. And this is a gap that's been hard for our hospitals. It's hard for them. They don't want to release people who mm-hmm. who are, but, you know, they have to.
But at the same time, if you are diagnosed with strep throat, they can't admit you into the hospital.
No. No.
And you
Mm-mm.
can't go back to the shelter.
Right.
So therein lies yep. a problem when we talk about healthcare and treatable illness.
Yeah.
This is treatable, but
right.
if you're out on the street, even for right. 24 hours with your small child or children, and because they can't come back into the shelter.
Well, it's horrific to see. I mean, strep throat usually means a temperature of 102 or higher.
You feel awful.
You feel awful. And so to not have a bed and to not have a place to be, it's inhumane, you know. So, you know, I think what Gene and I both agree is that once you see it enough, it's been revealed to you, like you have to do everything you possibly can to solve it mm-hmm. or else it kind of affects you.
And Gene, how will this, having a facility like this, how will it change the face of healthcare, do you think, for this population?
Well, I think it's a real game changer. And just like all of our shelters, when people really need to stay in, we let them stay in. Or we find a place, just like Jody said. But this is going to be very focused. And I think it will it'll engage more members of the community. It'll be an easy way for home health and hospice and the hospitals and Terry Riley to provide better treatment.
In a way, they'll have one place to go in right. some regards.
Right.
And then what it does, too, is when someone gets sick and they do seek the shelter and the care, it allows us to attach them to additional services. So they right. may not have gotten on a housing list or they may need some other things. And now that we have them there, we have case management in the same building. It's just like Monday meetup. You know, if they have an issue that brings them in that day, let's attach as many services mm-hmm. to them as we can, because mm-hmm. it's not always easy to get more than an overnight stay from some of our guests.
I really appreciate the two of you coming in today. You have opened my eyes to, I think, an issue sometimes that we don't think about, and it is that gap. And I'm looking forward to the official announcement of this facility, Gene.
Stay tuned.
Yes. My guest today, Gene Lockhart, the Chief Operating Officer with the Boise Rescue Mission, and Jody Peterson, the Executive Director of Interfaith Sanctuary. Thank you both for coming in today.
Thanks for having us.